Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Today I'm delighted to be speaking on the phone with Dr. Lori Sellinger. She is a child psychologist and the author of The Oh My, in Tonsillectomy and Adenoidectomy, How to Prepare Your Child for Surgery, 2nd edition. Stay tuned because Lori will be giving us valuable information and tips on how to prepare your child for surgery. Considering there are more than 200,000 surgeries performed yearly, many children go through emotional turmoil if not prepared properly for this procedure. Lori is familiar with the emotional anxieties of children go through and prepares parents to diminish these anxieties. But first, a little bit about Lori. Dr. Sellinger is a New York State licensed psychologist as well as a certified school psychologist in New York State, New York City, and New Jersey. She is also a registered play therapist supervisor for the Association of Play Therapy. She and her husband, who is also a psychologist, Dr. Fred Sellinger, have raised four boys. As parents, they have learned firsthand the difference between reading about children and living with them. Well, with four boys, yes, I can just well imagine. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Irene. Nice to speak with you again.
No kidding. I was just thinking about that. It's just a real pleasure because you're so knowledgeable as a child psychologist. And here again, we're going to be talking about a book that has to do with children. And, you know, I'm glad to be talking to you about this, too, because as I was getting prepared for this, I was reflecting back about tonsillectomy and so on. And my children never did get their tonsils out or their adenoids. But I do remember as a child myself, a lot of kids that were my age were getting their tonsils out, and, oh, I want mine out so badly because they got to eat Jell-O and ice cream.
It's not that much fun, Irene.
Well, now as an adult when I look back, of course not. But it seemed to be a trend at that time, and everybody was getting their tonsils out except me. And what are some of the reasons why this is still happening?
Okay, that's a good question. And before I even get to that, can I just tell you about my interest in doing it?
Of course.
Okay, because you just talked about your friends having gotten it out. My tonsils were taken out when I was 3, and I absolutely remember many, many parts of the experience. And for me, it was traumatic. It was one of those things, 50-some-odd years later, I still remember the recurring nightmares I had. So for me, it became a traumatic experience. When my son needed them out, I wanted to make sure that he didn't have anything that resembled what I went through. So I started doing some research. And his reason for having them out was because he was getting frequent strep throats. But there are other reasons why surgeons are recommending that they be taken out. Aside from persistent throat infections, some children have difficulty swallowing if the tonsils are infected and enlarged. There's also something called sleep apnea, which, you know, some people may be familiar with, and that's when breathing gets interrupted and you awaken, you know, when you're asleep. And in some circumstances, it can be really quite dangerous if somebody stops breathing for prolonged periods of time. So that's another reason. You might know whether or not your child, you might suspect that your child has sleep apnea if they're snoring. And then there are voice abnormalities, and there are some obstructions. So depending on the individual child, it would be up to the surgeon to determine whether or not they would need them out.
Okay. And so how common is this right now? Is it still as common as it used to be?
You know, it's a little bit less. When you say it's used to be, my history goes back 50 or some odd years, so certainly it's less than that.
Huh.
But there are about 400,000 of them performed each year in the United States on everybody. More than half of those, between 200 and 260,000, are performed on children under the age of 18. It's, in fact, the second most common surgical procedure performed on children. So there are many, many families who are going to experience this, at least with one of their children.
So as I'm listening to you and thinking, and to say as a mother, I never did have to experience that, having my children get either the tonsils out or the adenoids. But, gosh, that's, you know, and you mentioned it being traumatic. And so let's just maybe go there. What are some of the traumas that, let's say, you went through or that you see children go through that you deal with?
Okay, when I went through it, though, people weren't as enlightened, I think, emotionally and psychologically. So it was more from a medical point of view. A child had their clearance checkup. They went into the hospital. They, you know, may have been on a ward, as I was. You're put to sleep. I remember having the anesthesia mask put over me and thrashing. And then I remember waking up in a crib and having pain in my rear end because I was given a shot, and then throwing up, and then going home and not understanding any of it, but remembering parts of it absolutely vividly. And now, nowadays, we're more inclined to think about the child's overall well-being, their, you know, their emotional state, how well prepared are they. And when we find that if we give people information in ways that they can understand, that they could absorb at their developmental level, they their anxiety about a situation can be reduced. So if there is some good planning, children are now coming through this, I don't want to say unscathed, but with fewer issues and a better recovery. It also means, though, that parents need to educate themselves. So there's a lot of information. You know, families need the information. It's not just do the procedure on the child and, you know, assume that he'll bounce back. But if we prepare them for each stage, they'll be less anxious, they'll become a better patient, and the residual kinds of anxiety and trauma effects can be reduced.
So, Laura, you mentioned stages. And so what are some of the stages that the child has to go through?
In terms of the procedure?
Well, right from the beginning to the end, there's got to be some type of a stage.
Well, there. Okay, that's a good question. My book is written in different sections, geared for the parent in terms of understanding what they need to do. It's my feeling and that of many psychologists that graduated exposure to an event helps you acclimate to it. So that sounds a little jargony, so I'm going to kind of reword that. Graduated exposure means that you give a little bit at a time, small doses, so that we're not, you know, waking up and saying, hey, Johnny, guess what? Tomorrow you're getting your tonsils done. You're going to be in the hospital. Any questions? You know, you don't want to do something like that. So instead, there are a couple of books out that are intended for children to explain and understand the tonsillectomy procedure. And my recommendation is if you have a month or two ahead of time before the procedure, it's best to just introduce your child to those books, but in a way that you might introduce them to any book. Leave it around, read it to them, stop reading if they become bored, but just leave it for them to see. And then I suggest a schedule that gets closer and closer each time how you need to increase the information you're giving to a child. I'm recommending that you visit the hospital ahead of time, that the child perhaps even visits his dentist to try on a nitrous oxide mask, just so that they understand, you know, what it's going to be like with something covering part of their face. When you go to the center where you're going to have it done, stay a while, because we find that anxiety or levels of anxiety cannot maintain a certain height if over a long period of time. So if you stay someplace, gradually the anxiety is going to be reduced. That's why I suggest that you should go to the waiting room of the day op center or the surgery center where you're going to have it done and hang out there. Watch people coming and going. Buy something from the vending machine. Take a drink. Play a game there. But acclimate it. Eat a snack. Acclimate the child and yourself to the place without any bad image of it. You know, the child would have just a nice time being there, so that when you refer to it later, they have a pleasant memory, a pleasant recollection of it. And then I make recommendations each stage of the way in terms of what to tell your child. But it's also very important that the parents are really calm, that they understand the procedure, that when they are talking to the child, that they themselves don't emit a sense of urgency or fear, that they're comfortable with it. The book was really written to reduce the parents' and the child's anxiety and to give correct information. So what I try to do is anticipate what a parent might ask, and I put that in. In fact, this is my second edition of the book, so I did add parts there based on anticipated questions and those questions that readers sent to me and contacted me with after the first writing. And I tried to answer them as best as I could, conferring, you know, with otolaryngologists so that my information is correct. So I try to anticipate what a parent would need. And I also put in things from a child's perspective, being a child psychologist. I know a lot of things that kids would think about that perhaps a surgeon is not telling a parent, you know, because a surgeon has a different perspective on what needs to be done. My perspective, though, is the child's emotional well-being. And, you know, so what I try to do is to put in the things that a child might be wondering so that a parent can give the child that information.
I really like what you had said, suggesting to go and go to the waiting room and, you know, use a vending machine or play a game there, because it then becomes familiar and it's not
right.
That scary place that they're going to all of a sudden remember after the surgery and all the trauma that they went through. But this way, it's like it's a good place to go to.
In fact, I do make a suggestion in the book that we know that a child's going to need some blood work, some lab work done ahead of time. I make the suggestion that although the parent is usually given the choice of having it at the place where the tonsils will come out, that they may want to consider a lab instead. Because if they go for the first time to the place where the surgery is going to be and they have the blood work done there, blood work itself, it can be an upsetting experience for a child. So that would form their memory. So sometimes what you want to do is get that bad memory out of the way at an independent place so that when the child goes, they're not afraid the second time.
So, Lori, as a psychologist that looks after children or that deals with them, what do you find is the most common anxiety or trauma that the child experiences once the surgery is over and then they come to see you because of the anxiety? What is it that could have been prevented?
That's a good question. I can't say that I see a lot of anxiety after the procedure because usually there's a lot of relief at that point. But ahead of time, there are parents who are worriers anyway, so they're going to worry, what about germs? What do I do if? What if there are complications? And the complications actually is a new section to the book because there are a certain percentage, a small percentage of kids who have complications. And in it, I give the parents the information that would help them write it out and explain to their children what's happening. So I would say that there's much more anxiety before the surgery than after. And there's anxiety for some kids each step of the way. Anytime they're examined by a doctor, there's anxiety. When they have to change into their gown, kids get anxious about removing their underwear. They get anxious about things sticking them. You know, if they haven't felt well and they've been prodded and poked and given throat cultures over the years, they're afraid that they're going to have more of that. So kids can be sensitized to, because they've already developed fear from having gone through things like, regular doctor visits. But I think the parent piece is so critical because if a kid just gets their tonsils and adenoids removed once in their life, it usually means that it's a new experience for both parent and child, and we're not really well prepared. We're always guided by what our pediatricians tell us, but they don't give you all of the details that a child and a parent might wonder about.
Well, and of course, each child is different, and their anxiety levels are different.
Right. Yeah. In fact, my second book actually is called Please Explain Anxiety to Me, because I'm very into helping kids reduce their anxiety levels. I think that, you know, extreme anxiety could be an immobilizing or paralyzing kind of force. And my feeling is if we tell children correct information that they can understand ahead of time and keep their anxiety low, they do better. And many of my patients actually, one of my patients had sent me an email saying that, actually a few of them, saying that the staff in the operating room were so pleased at how well prepared and how compliant the child was with the procedure, because they know what was happening, that they found it to be somewhat astounding, you know, that the kids sailed through with flying colors. So I'm all about helping kids to worry less about a procedure.
No kidding.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We are speaking today with Dr. Lori Bellinger. As you have heard so far, Lori believes a child should be prepared as much as possible and gives much information in her book, The Oh My, in Tonsillectomy and Adenoidectomy, How to Prepare Your Child for Surgery, 2nd edition. Her website is Dr. Zellinger.com. That's DrZellinger.com. And, you know, I think that we sometimes don't give the kids enough credit. I think that they understand more than what we really think they do.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I preach is that you shouldn't discuss the issue of surgery in front of the child if you and your spouse haven't yet made a decision. Because if one of you says, no, let's wait, and the other says, go, the child's going to try to talk one parent out of it. And the parents, if it's a two-parent family, they need to be united about what's going on. And one of the other things I suggest is never lie to a child, but if you're explaining the procedure to them, give them words that are likewise familiar to them, things they can relate to. So instead of calling it an operating room or an OR, we call it a special room. And instead of recovery, it's a resting room, because that's what kids are doing there. They're going to be resting. So I feel strongly that they need to understand each step of the way what's happening. And even a description of the operating room. You know, kids wonder, why is everybody in there wearing those funny clothes and those things over their masks? And why is everything silver and so bright and so cold? And what am I going to lie on?
Mm-hmm.
So ahead of time, I like them to know that things will be silver and shiny and bright. And the idea of the doctors, and there'll be a lot of people in there, and they'll look very busy. And their mouths will be covered, because since it's a room, the special room, doesn't allow any germs to come in, we want to make sure that everybody's mouth is covered so they can't give us any germs. So I'm explaining to them what we might take for granted as an adult.
And, of course, it depends on the age of the child, too, and how much information they can absorb. And most parents probably know how much information this child can absorb. But also, I would imagine opening it up to discussion for the child to be able to ask questions and really answer them in a way that they can understand would certainly curb a lot of the anxiety.
Yes, exactly. And the amount of information you give the child has to increase as the time gets closer to the actual surgical date. So at the beginning, I'm suggesting just introduce it, leave the books around. If the child is not interested, it's fine to forget it. But as time gets closer and you're explaining it, even if the child is upset and crying, we need as parents to be able to say, I know this scares you, but I'll be with you. I will go in to the special room with you, that you're going to stay asleep until it's over. I will be there. Allaying the child's sense of, I don't want to talk about this, but telling them, in effect, it's okay. I know that you don't want to, but I want to tell you what's going to be happening.
That's a really good point. And also, that assurance is so important because this is new. And, you know, as adults, too, we have some bottom fear that when it's, you know, we're approaching something that's new that we've never experienced before. And so a child is definitely no different, if anything, probably more anxious than we as adults are of the unknown.
I think everybody is afraid of the unknown. And, you know, of course you have an extra dose based on your temperament. You know, if you're a highly anxious person or you've been through things that truly are anxiety provoking, you may have a predisposition. A lot of it depends on how well do you handle other kinds of new information. You know, if a child is afraid of separation or afraid of going places, that parent will need to give that child more attention and more preparation. And speaking of that child, you also want them to understand that kids can't cause somebody to need a tonsillectomy, that that child didn't do something resulting in this. It's not their fault. And you want to be able to reassure your other siblings that just because, one child is having it doesn't mean that the others will. Kids need a lot of reassurance, and they need to be spared any sense of guilt that they may have done something that caused the throat infections or caused them to become sick.
That's such a good point that you just brought up, that that they don't feel guilty. And, you know, so many times with lack of information, a child does take on the guilt.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Laurie, you provide scripts for the parents.
I do.
Give some examples of some of the scripts that you give that would give us an indication of what direction this is going into.
Okay, well, one thing I did add to the second edition is that I've also included a script to read to your to the non-patient, you know, children in your family.
Oh.
So that's a new piece, and I can even read you pieces of it. Okay, so part of the one that's to the well siblings would be something along these lines, and I'm always framing it that way because a parent should read the script and then change it so that it's personalized to your own situation.
Right.
You know how your sister's always getting sore throats? That's because her tonsils keep getting sick. Dr. So-and-so told us that if we can get rid of her sick tonsils, she'll feel a lot better, so we want to do that. We're going to go to a special doctor who will take them out. On that day, Mommy and I will leave early, and Grandma will be watching you. When we come home, your sister will be very tired and won't feel so good. Mommy and I will need to give her a lot of attention for a few days until she starts to feel better. But we can still take care of you, too, because we love all of you the same amount. And Grandma will help if we get very busy. Since your sister may need to sleep a lot, we will have to be quiet sometimes. If that's hard for you, we can set up some play dates at your friend's house. Even though your sister is having her tonsils out, that doesn't mean that you will. All kids are different. And that's my suggestion as to handle the well sibling, because you want to assure them that you're still their parent as well, and that the reality is that we're going to have to make some adjustments at home, you know, when she comes home, but that there will always be somebody to take care of them. Kids, I feel, always need to be reminded that adults are in charge, adults love them, adults will take care of them.
I really like that script. What I heard, it just covers every base.
I think it gives the basics so that a child can then ask a question if they wonder about it.
Exactly.
But from a kid's point of view, they always wonder, how does it affect me? Even a child going through divorce. Well, What cereal am I going to have? Who's going to take me to school? You know, can I still go to Girl Scouts? They always wonder from their perspective. So from this perspective, well, okay, I'm going to have to be quiet, you know, because she's home. My parents are going to be busy, but Grandma will be there. So from that child's perspective, what do they want to hear? And then for the patient, I have several scripts depending on what stage you're at. I'll give you just one piece of it.
Okay.
Okay, so this is about going into the operating room. A little while after that, you might get on a riding toy and drive it into the special room while Mommy walks with you. There will be a lot of people in there who are the doctor's helpers, and they will all be wearing the same kind of clothes and maybe a matching cover over their mouth so they can't give us germs if they cough or sneeze. But we'll be able to see their eyes, and when they crinkle, we'll know that they're smiling underneath. There will be a lot of silver machines and lights in the special room. Everyone will be busy, and it will feel cold since the air conditioner will be on. You'll climb onto a skinny silver table and will lie on your back, or you might sit on Mommy's lap. Mommy will sit on a chair right next to the table and will hold your hand. Then Mommy will give you an astronaut's mask to breathe from that the nurse will hold over your nose and mouth. After a little while, it will make you feel dizzy and sleepy. Mommy will stay there until you fall asleep, and you will stay asleep until it's all over. And that's just one part of one of the scripts.
And that just makes it so safe, doesn't it?
That's really what I try for. You know, there's a script about changing and a script about getting the examination. There's a script about recovery and, you know, what it's going to be like, that the child, you know, may feel constricted, that you may have a board under your arm or you may see tubes, your throat will be scratchy. And then, of course, there's the accurate information that parents need, you know, just that tonsils are removed from your mouth so there's no incision, you know, through the skin. Okay. Or if you're in there as a child's getting anesthesia, be prepared for an agitation phase where they may thrash. I found it personally upsetting when I saw my son's eyes begin to dilate, you know, and then I thought, oh, my God, what's happening? I wish I had known, and then they said, okay, it's time for you to leave. So I just reassure parents that at that point they may experience something similar. Or in the recovery room, a child may ask a lot of questions. If you answer them, they may not remember them and ask them repeatedly. You may see dry blood around their mouth. There are a lot of things. A child's recovery from anesthesia can be difficult. So what I'm trying to do is to be a good OCD writer, you know, write what any neurotic parent like I was might want to know, so that this could be their only resource. If they only have, you know, the ability to get one book, that everything that they would want to know would be answered in here.
And as a parent yourself that had to go through this yourself and have that emotional anxiety and the wondering, and it's like, oh, my, I wish I would have known, this is why you're able to give this information to the parents that have never experienced it before.
Yeah, it was my son Jordan who had it when he was 6. And being a psychologist at that time, I tried to be prepared, and I went through each of these stages with a pen and paper in my pocketbook, and I just took notes. And then as I went into private practice, people whose kids were going through this were asking me if they could have copies of my notes. So I would, you know, give them my notes, and then they'd come back and they'd say, well, you know, I had this, and then I started incorporating it. And finally, it just became so long that I decided I may as well just, you know, write it up based on my personal experience as a parent and the experience of the parents that I was working with. And you know, that's how it, and I guess my background as a psychologist, figuring how do you help a kid do their best in a potentially upsetting experience. And that became the makings of the book.
And listeners, the book is Oh My! In Tonsillectomy and Adenoidectomy, How to Prepare Your Child for Surgery. And Dr. Laurie is talking about the second edition, which, of course, has some added information. Laurie, your website address?
www.drzellinger, Z as in zebra, ELINGER.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Lori, for coming again and talking to us and just giving that parents, you know, that reassurance, actually, that everything is going to be okay, that if they can prepare the child in advance, and not only the child but themselves, that it's not going to be as difficult as one may think it is.
But also, if, in fact, it is not okay, if something happens, the parents will know how to deal with it. Ahead of time, they'll be able to go into that feeling that they're as prepared as they can be. And then at the end of all of this, it will be okay.
Yes, and that's exactly, I'm glad you mentioned that, because after I said that, I thought, oh boy, you know, there could be some complications, but obviously you addressed that too. So I really appreciate you coming on again and talking to our parents and letting them know that your book is available, and gosh, all that information in it, it's just a real godsend, I know. So thank you again.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. Thank you so much, Irene.
And this is Irene Watson for Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.